T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It is the Get Right with Reggie KG on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Atatula.
Yep.
My man Joey holding it down here for you on your Turn It On, Leave It On station 105.3 The Fan. The truckrate.com text line 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the conversation. Appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. The theme of our night is in honor of Jerry's party at Nobu tonight out in Oxnard, California. Who's the one celebrity that you want to party with and where, if you had the opportunity to? Some people weighing in on the truckrate.com text line. This is a very interesting one from 817. Ozzy Osbourne at the Alamo.
Huh.
That's a very interesting place to party with Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I don't think I'd go there.
Yeah, I don't know about that at all.
Like, at the actual Alamo, like, not like Alamo Draft House or something else that's called the Alamo.
like the actual Alamo.
Have you been to the actual Alamo before?
No.
I don't want to say it's underwhelming because that feels unfair, but like it's pretty small.
Wow.
It's pretty small.
from my man Tovash, 817 Tovash, I want to party with Joe Buck and Dennis Rodman again. Both are fun guys. Wait, what?
Well, you know, Dennis Rodman, he's from here originally. I don't know if he'd be around these parts. Maybe they've crossed paths.
But he said again.
Hey, man, Tobosh be in these streets, dog.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I have real questions. Joe Buck and Dennis Rodman in the same room.
Well, I don't
and
know.
You want to do that again? I want to know what happened the first time.
I'm wondering if they were in the same room before. I'm wondering if that was, like, Joe Buck and then Dennis Rodman again. You know what I mean? Like, Dennis Rodman happened before.
Oh,
but maybe they were all in the same room.
Because that make it sound like he was partying with Joe Buck and Dennis Rodman, and
maybe
he wants
Tobosh
to party with the two
happen.
Of them again. Like, I have questions, so I need answers.
Joe Buck has a great story about a time that he did an edible and he was wildin'.
What?
He was wildin'.
Oh, I hear that. Ozzy Osbourne was once banned from the Alamo.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
214. Sadly, y'all didn't get the reference. That's
nope.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Sure didn't. Had no idea about that.
Right over my head.
It was completely. So, we in the same boat. On that one. Reg continues his rewatch of the 2021 season for your Dallas Cowboys football club, and it led you where this week, Reg?
The Thanksgiving, week 12.
Oh,
Las Vegas Raiders. it sounds like KG remembers this game.
Before
we dig too deep in, should I double up on some of these here? Like, we're in camp. The Hall of Fame game is coming. And I still have...
You got 5 weeks?
No, it's more than 5 weeks because I got 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's five. And then
the playoff game.
Playoff game six. Do we have six shows until the season starts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll make it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Week 12.
Let me check the calendar.
You said that real confident.
I think so. I think you'll be able
to. Are we going to be on the air six more times before the football
game? I think so. And Tom Brady, I would never party with you, 214. Never.
Why? No, because he's not going to let you eat strawberries and stuff.
Wait, what?
You know, that's how he keeps the TB12.
Oh, yeah. He don't eat, like, real food like a real human. Yeah, okay. No, I probably would party with Tom Brady, actually. Actually, I probably would.
I know you would.
Yeah, I probably would. You kidding me?
From the 940, Stone Cold Steve Austin at a college football tailgate.
Oh, that's a good one. I kind of like that.
I'm surprised you didn't get into your wrestle bag way earlier, honestly.
Oh, no. I'm trying to keep the show going for tonight. Yeah. I don't want you to get off the rails.
Yeah. All right, week 12, Las Vegas Raiders. Very early on in this game, it was clear. It might have been one of the first few offensive plays for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this first note that said, Zeke planting on his right foot is suspect. And I was like, wait, which side was the PCL? Because I don't want to assume that it was because of the PCL. And I went, oh, PCL on his right knee. Like, there we go. Like that. I don't know if that's a causation, but I can say there's a correlation there between it felt very clear that he couldn't plant on that right leg. You weren't getting what you needed to get out of that.
The Cowboys' first drive, I have in my notes because I did notes as well. 4 yard carry to Zeke on the first play. 2 yard carry on second down to Zeke. 1 yard catch to Zeke. The first three plays went to Ezekiel Elliott. They went three and out on the first drive with Ezekiel Elliott on all three plays. I was like, oh, this is what we're going to be on today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, worth noting, I should probably give the entire overview. This was an overtime game the Las Vegas Raiders won in overtime 36-33.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And that pushed the Cowboys to 7-4, pushed the Raiders to 6-5. And later in the game, because I can get you through all the minutia, and we can come back to it. This was the Tony Pollard game, but there was a point in the game where I said, and let me see, what is it specifically? This game looks like a Spider-Man meme. Yeah, this game feels a lot like the Spider-Man meme.
Just pointing at each other.
Because early on in the game, the Raiders ran decent. Like, I don't want to say that they ran incredible, but they ran pretty decent. But I keep wanting to call them the Mavs. The Cowboys ran decent as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, on the day, they ran 3.2 yards per carry, and that kind of got worse throughout the game. But, like, early on, they moved the ball decent. Of course, that first drive isn't indicative of it. But, like, the Raiders ran 4.1 yards a rush. And it was like, all right, they ran decent. They threw the ball kind of underneath, and then they took a few shots deep here and there. And it just felt like, oh, these teams are, like, they feel largely the same right now.
You know how I knew this game was going to be on some wackiness? Because you remember the Raiders' first drive? It was a 12-yard gain to Darren Waller on second down. Next play, who victimizes the Cowboys deep on a regular anytime he steps foot in this building?
DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson.
Well, I honestly forgot was there.
56-yard touchdown bomb from Derek Carr to DeSean Jackson. I said, oh, we're going to be on some shenanigans today. Because no matter DeSean Jackson could be 85 years old. You know what he's going to walk into Dallas and do? Catch a 75-yard touchdown from whomever's throwing the ball.
Yeah, and the sad thing about this is that illustrated and highlighted a guy who I've been caping for a little bit, who I've come to really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
This was Anthony Brown's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Oh, boy. He got Jordan Lewis on that particular play. But, yes, that was –
hey, man, there was a couple times that Anthony Brown got victimized or was going to get victimized. Was like, let me just hold you, dog. It's not worth it.
Every corner got that burn unit game. This was burn unit game for Anthony Brown.
So it was this one and what was it? Which other game was it? Tampa, where Antonio Brown was Brown on Brian Crown. Like, those are the two bad games, I think, for him. Other than that, Anthony Brown was, like, pretty good for what you expect as a second cornerback. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I felt like I should illustrate that, but just also point back to the fact that I think Anthony Brown had a really good season. And I'm appreciative of him having him as your second cornerback. But yeah, if there was a couple of instances where it was like, it feels like, and you might have noticed it because I've asked a couple of times, I've talked about Dak and deep. It felt like I was like, all right, but where is this? It feels like there hasn't been any deep pass. And as soon as I say that, you look up and deep pass down the left connects with Cedric Wilson for 50 plus yards. And I was like, later in the game, I'm like, man, it feels like there hadn't been a deep pass since that said pass in a while. Deep pass down the left side, Michael Gallup, you know, for like 30 some, 40 some yards. And I'm like, one, all the deep passes came from one side, but two, it just feels like they don't attack downfield a lot. And I think that was when it clicked for me. I was like, yo, this feels like a Spider-Man meme, because one thing that I talk about with Derek Carr is one of those guys that's kind of polarizing, but a lot of people just kind of knock on him. Derek Carr's not a bad quarterback, but what makes him good is when he attacks downfield. When he doesn't attack downfield, we'll play against you. When you actually attack downfield, it's like, okay, now he can do that, and when he does that, it opens up the game a lot more. And I feel like that's similar for Dak, except it didn't feel like it was happening a lot. And some of that was, you know, I guess the idea of, oh, man, they figured it out, and they're playing, you know, cover two mm-hmm. shells with, you know, deep coverage to where they're kind of asking you and tempting you to throw underneath. But this team also runs a lot of sticks routes, right? Like, they run a lot of 10-yard sits and stuff like that and, you know, slants. And it doesn't feel like they attack downfield a lot. And I'm wondering what you think about this and what that means for this offense, because I do wonder if this team will be able to attack teams downfield.
They're going to have to. I think part of the explosion of this offense is their ability to push the ball downfield. And I think that's why CeeDee Lamb and his importance in this offense is going to be highlighted so much, because his ability to have defenses and coverage roll to him because of the completeness of a receiver we think he's going to be is going to open up the things for Jalen Tolbert, for Michael Gallup when he comes back, to be able to push things over the top. So that's why I think this offense has to remain a team that's consistently taking chances to push the ball down the field. And Dak will have to take some more of those chances as well to keep defenses honest, honestly, to be able to put pressure on secondaries, because they have, I think, the capabilities of doing so once this group is fully healthy and capable, in my mind.
Yeah, so that's some of why, like, in camp, I've kind of been taking an eye to, you know, the footage of deep passes. And even though he hasn't really connected, I'm wondering if, like, I should look at a glass half full of they're trying to work out that timing, trying to work out that feel and get on the same page to the point where maybe once the season comes around, that will be calibrated and they'll be able to attack down the field. So that was one of the big things that I was really thinking of. Hey, man, we actually got Dalton Schultz working down the seam, like upfield, instead of entirely running kind of. It felt like there was a lot of sit routes with Dalton Schultz oftentimes, where he's pretty good at that, you know, kind of finding a little space in the defense, sitting down, getting that ball and sitting down and getting like 10, 12 yards. This one, he went over the top. He got a linebacker one-on-one coverage and he went over the top. And I was like, oh, yeah, if he's capable of actually like attacking seams and getting deep in that way, like he could also help in that endeavor of like stretching the ball downfield, and maybe he could show his worth to the front office.
Look here, man. I keep telling y'all, and David Hellman, he tweeted this out, I think it was yesterday, because during the 2-minute drill, you know, Dak hit Dalton Schultz, you know, in practice, you know, for a touchdown to, you know, in that particular, you know, play. Dalton Schultz is gonna have between 90 and 100 catches for this team this year. And that's gonna make a lot of Cowboys fans upset, because of how they feel about him as a player. He's going to have big numbers in this offense. There are things that he's going to be having to do, because he's arguably right now your second best pass catcher. He's going to have big numbers. And whether or not you feel like he needs to get paid by this team or somewhere else, he's going to have, I think, a monster year for the Cowboys, because Dak trusts him. And that's a play, an example where he was able to continue to build that trust in him last year.
Absolutely. Just going backwards a little bit, another reason why I said that this felt like the Spider-Man meme and that these were two sides of the same coin, the Raiders had all the penalties on offense. So many holding penalties, though. There was so many holding penalties.
This game was sloppy on both sides.
Yeah, but I noticed the Raiders ones a lot more. It felt like they really came up at the wrong times, which, you know, happened to the Cowboys in some other games. And that's the Cowboys have no one to blame with that but themselves in a lot of times. I definitely made a note. I was like, okay, this is very evident. Tony Pollard needs to touch the ball more, because this was the Tony Pollard game. Like, I was like, I made that note in the second quarter, and then the third quarter, Pollard, all caps. Later in the third quarter, the Tony Pollard game, right? Like, Tony Pollard made it abundantly clear. If he gets blocks, he has the burst to get through there and make interesting things happen. But the tough part about it is that they have waited so long to implement Tony Pollard that I feel like this season they have to use Tony Pollard and also think of succession plan. Because I don't know that, like, my philosophy running backs is you want to pay for the yards and not the carries. But you haven't even utilized the carries. So, I'm in this place where I'm like, is the plan going forward, sign him back to a little bit larger deal, just because, I mean, second contract, understanding that you haven't even gotten the carries out of him really, or do you have to avoid the second contract like a lot of people would say, just with running backs, and go get another one for the cheap? And would you have just missed out on getting the squeeze out of Tony Pollard?
Here's the irony of what's going to happen this year in my mind with Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard, if he's utilized the way the Cowboys continue to talk about the way they're going to use him this year in the running game, in the passing game, split out wide receiver, this, that, and the third, he's going to have a monster year. So much so, he's going to price himself out of here, because another team is going to look at him and say, oh, that's the Tony Pollard that we can utilize in our offense, Los Angeles, whomever. Yeah, let's go ahead and pay that dude to come play for our football team. That's what I think is going to happen with Tony Pollard.
Which Los Angeles has money to pay the running back?
What did we say? It doesn't matter if the Rams have money or not. Who cares? They don't care. They find money under the mattress, behind the rock, whatever. I'm just throwing out a team. But any team that could see Tony Pollard and say, hey, we could use him just like that, but he would be even more explosive in our particular offense.
Okay.
I'm just saying, get ready for that. Because Tony Pollard's going to have a big year, I think.
Well, I mean, at least I hope so to say that this team got something out of him. Because it just like
just to see him walk out the doors to go somewhere else.
But what's the alternative? Not getting anything out of him also in another year, and then him walking or whatever. Like, because it just feels like they've not utilized him
or utilize him and keep him and pay him to keep him.
Yeah, but then at that point we're having pie discussions,
right?
We're talking about the pie.
Pie. Because at the end of the day, anyway.
And then just to wrap this up, not really anything that we have to take any note from, but the finish to that game was comedy.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Raiders, after getting a stop on the Cowboys, have worked their way down into field goal range. Oh. And, you know, first down, second down, third down. Here we are, fourth down. They line up to kick it. They have an infraction. They have to back it up. Oh, man, the kick is going to be further. Here it comes. I don't even know. I didn't take a note because I didn't feel like blasting nobody on the radio. Whoever it was, special teams off the edge, jumps way early. Neutral zone infraction. All right, get those 5 yards back. All right, now we're back where we started, right? All good, right?
Nope. C.J. Goodwin.
C.J. Goodwin does it again. Let's jump it quick.
Back-to-back penalties, C.J. Goodwin.
And then it's first down, Raiders, and they're like, no, it's fine. We'll just kick it. Comedy.
You want to talk about having your Thanksgiving dinner ruined? These clowns that day ruined my Thanksgiving day. Anthony Brown sent to the burn unit over and over and over again because then it became comical. Derek Carr's like, oh, I know what the offense is going to be. We're just going to target Anthony Brown because he's going to get a penalty every time we throw it his way. And then C.J. Goodwin back-to-back dumb penalties in the game. Anyway, what a day that was. Coming up next, we're going to go inside the gray area. Donuts and mustard and why this person started a 60-acre wildfire by trying to burn this. Next on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That's our man Joey back there putting in work right here on the Get Right with Reg and KG on 105 through the Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Adetula. Appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday night edition here of the Get Right with Reg and KG. Truckwreck.com, text line 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the conversation.
Savor it or enjoy it. It's the one and only of the week. So, you know, if you're enjoying it, savor it. And if you're not, don't worry about it. Tomorrow the Rangers will be back.
And if you miss it, you can go to 105thefan.com, click on the Get Right podcast page, and you can listen to anything you may have missed, or you can rewind on the Odyssey app as well. We've been asking people to let us know in honor of Jerry's party tonight. It's Nobu night.
Ooh, it's 7:22 Pacific time.
Oh, does that mean the party's about to get started soon?
I don't know what time it starts, but I have a feeling like it probably is already going, and I'm wondering how our boys are doing.
That's a good question. Because you never know who's going to show up at Nobu.
You know what? I'm going to send a text. I'm going to send a text to who do you think is the most responsible and likely to hit me back?
Broadus.
Okay, yeah, that's a great point. Let me ask Broadus to give me a status report.
Because Broadus wasn't trying to, sound like he wasn't trying to go, like, at all. Yeah. Which I'm highly disappointed. I know, right? I'm, like, highly disappointed in.
Well, Bobby was the same way, correct?
Yeah, but I would love to text Bobby, but Bobby's not even there. So.
Yeah. So there's that. By the way, don't want to forget our Twolos on the twitch.tv/DallasFanCam. I know Reg has been
chatting with them. And within that last segment, we had somebody talk about how D-Jax is a nightmare, which correct.
Complete nightmare.
And then also, I was asked, didn't Derek Carr have some of the best PFF stats on 40-plus yard throws in 2021? Which I don't doubt. Like, I'm not certain, and I don't have all the upgraded fancy PFF logins to actually find all of that out.
Funny you say that.
Do you?
Because
we might have to have an off-air conversation.
In this game, particularly the Raiders game, the Raiders and Cowboys game, Derek Carr had completions that day of 56.
Correct.
55.
Yes. 35.
Yeah. 31. Uh-huh. And 30 yards.
Yeah, man.
Against the Dallas Cowboys. At that point, after that
game, one of those split the safeties. One of those was Hunter Renfrow splitting the safeties.
Yeah.
So.
after that game was over with, the Cowboys, at that point in time of the season, had given up 52 explosive plays on the season. That is plays of 20-plus yards or more. And a bunch of them came that particular day.
Yeah, but the point being is, like, Derek Carr over the last few seasons, I want to say two, maybe three, really embraced pushing the ball downfield in a way that he hadn't early, and I think that correlates with him being the better quarterback that we've seen him be.
Let us know if you had a chance to party with a celebrity. Who would that party? Who would that celebrity be, and where you would want to party with them? With them at?
From the 214, Get Right sounds like the guy in the rain looking at the party through the window. I'm less of that. I'm not as hurt about the fact that we not in Oxnard. My partner, I don't know.
Oh, word?
I don't know.
That's what we're, all right.
That's right.
All right, cool.
That's right.
All right.
Go ahead and get in your gray area.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get inside the gray area right here on the Get Right with Reggie KG. See, this is why you got to work with people that you like, because otherwise.
You would have fought me?
Yeah, I probably would have fought you. Probably would have fought you. But I like you, so I'm going to let that slide.
Fantastic.
Because I know what place it comes from.
From a place of love, ladies and gentlemen.
The way things are going, I might have to leave this job to go to this job.
What? We just started, dog. What you mean?
Because, well, apparently this job right here is paying $78,000 per year.
Are they hiring?
They are, actually.
Okay.
Let me
just take a few notes. Joey, you got notes as well? We might need to make a mass exodus.
Well, this candy company is looking for a full-time work-at-home taste tester.
Oh, I got you, dog. I got you.
And they're willing to pay you $78,000 a year to do it.
Is it gummy worms? Because I'm in there. I'm in there like swimwear, dog.
Do you love all things candy and chocolate?
Yes.
Are you passionate about confectionery treats and exploring unreleased and existing products?
No, but for $78,000, yes.
If so, this is the perfect position for you, the job listing reads. We are looking for the world's first and only chief candy officer. This opportunity is
not
work
a title.
Well, it's real if they wanted it to be.
I guess so.
This opportunity is work from home with the option to work out of either Toronto, Canada for Canadian residents, or Newark, New Jersey for American residents, paying up to $100,000 Canadian annually to lead the Funhouse candy strategy. This includes approving all candy and inventory and deciding whether or not to award each treat with the official CCO stamp of approval.
So is it 100 or is it 78?
Well, it's $100,000 Canadian.
Oh, okay. Is that I don't know what
that's
the
78.
Is that actually 78?
Yeah.
Okay. In Newark. So I got to move.
So you'd have to move to Newark, New Jersey.
Ooh, that's tough.
And this is for the Funhouse candy company.
Do they make good candy?
Excuse me, Candy Funhouse.
Candy Funhouse.
the position is open to anyone over the age of five residing in North America.
Wait, you gonna pay a seven-year-old $78,000?
I mean, it's candy. The chosen chief candy officer.
Yes, I'm sounding like a hater because I am a hater. Don't give no seven-year-old $78,000. Give it to me.
Here's the thing, though. The chief candy officer will be put through extensive palate training and, quote, should put fun at the forefront of their daily routine.
All right, wait a minute. From the 214, plot twist, it's only Milk Duds. Do you not like Milk Duds?
Wait, what? No, Milk Duds are horrible.
Really? I can rock with Milk Duds?
No.
All right, so let's do this. Let's go around the room. The candy that you actually despise. Are you sticking with Milk Duds? Is that yours?
I mean, it's despised, but not my ultimate one.
Okay. You have one that came to mind immediately? What is that?
Yeah, Almond Joy.
Ooh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Almond Joy is disgusting.
Well, I'm going to make a lot of people mad, but I'm not a big fan of peanut butter. So, like, Reese's just.
What?
Yeah. I can't do peanut butter.
I got a Reese's peanut butter cup right here.
I'm not
here.
Even allergic to it. Just look at that,
right there. Are we about to make him eat a Reese's peanut butter cup?
We should.
I'm going to make a lot of people mad.
If I bought you a Reese's peanut butter cup, would you eat it on the show for content?
Yeah, just for you.
Okay.
Oh, that's sweet, Joey. That's sweet.
I was hoping you would say no so I could force you to do it.
Okay. Right.
I'll think on that. Wow, Reese's peanut butter. That hurts. I mean, obviously, you don't have to like things just because I like them. But, yeah, no, that's tough.
What's yours?
I want you to know, while Joey was kind of reluctant to say his because it would make people mad, I'm saying this specifically because I know it'll make people mad. I think Haribo gummy bears stink.
Oh, so you're not a gummy bear fan?
No, I like gummy bears. Uh-huh. Haribo gummy bears stink. Or Haribo, how do you?
Oh, the specific brand.
Yeah. No, they're wildly tough. I don't know how people don't chip their tooth all the time on them.
Okay, all right.
Like, this is supposed to be easier to chew than this.
From the 469, Whoppers are the worst. That's a great call.
Sorry, I got British family and stuff. Whoppers hit.
I don't know what the 972 is doing. Baby Ruth is fantastic.
I don't think I've had a Baby Ruth in my lifetime.
Oh, you're missing out. Baby Ruth is great.
What's in the Baby Ruth?
Chocolate,
peanuts, caramel,
yes,
nougat.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. All that works. Candy corn. I do love that this person that texted in didn't say candy corn on the truckwreck.com text line from the 817. And I'll read this verbatim. What's them little triangle Halloween candies?
Yep.
In fact, that's what I'm going to start calling them.
That's
them little Halloween triangle candies. That's that's what they are. I'm hypothesize that candy corn is made out of melted down traffic cones.
Completely agree with you.
Because that's what they taste like.
Candy corn is such a flavorless piece of anything, of whatever it is. It's awful. I don't know how people, Kevin Hagelin, like candy corn in that way.
The other one I can't stand is Twizzlers.
Why do you like this?
Wait, what?
Not a big fan of Twizzlers.
Do you like any licorice or any?
Are you
do
a
you
human?
Like Red Vines or any of those? No? I can get that. Like, Twizzlers aren't like the sweetest thing. Like, what about the Twizzlers do you not get down with?
It's the taste. I don't know what's with the taste. It's just not the flavor punch, I guess, I'm looking for.
I do love this from the 254. Dots piss me off. Not that you don't like them. They just make me mad.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the concept.
Nah,
I don't
dots stink, yeah.
By the way, appreciate you, 469. We can all agree Almond Joy is awful. Thank you. And to the 972 who says otherwise, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't, yeah, no. But yeah, you can be a chief candy officer for $78,000. Does that interest you, gentlemen?
Yes.
You going to apply for that particular job?
Let's do it. I'll update the resume.
I'm on the website right now. I'm on the website trying to find it. So. Oh, they got it on the front page, too. They know people coming.
Oh, they do?
Don't worry. I got this at 11:05. My application will be in.
You got to apply by August 31st, so you got plenty of time.
Oh, so there you go.
Y'all think I'm playing.
Well, I guess it's going to be the end of the Get Right with Reggie KG here.
You think I'm getting this job?
A five-year-old can apply for it.
Why not? He thinks I'm getting
you like fun. Fun is at the heart of, you know, your life. You like fun.
That is a good point. I do fit all the descriptions.
I think you would qualify very well for that. It's the gray area right here on 105 through the fan. The headline goes like this, gentlemen. A 60-acre wildfire was started when a man tries burning a spider with a lighter.
Can't blame them.
We go to Draper, Utah, for this particular story. 26-year-old Draper, Utah resident Corey Allen Martin was arrested by the Utah County Sheriff's Office after allegedly causing a wildfire that spread to 60 acres near the border of Provo and Springville. Martin, according to documents, admitted that he started the fire by quote-unquote accident when he found a spider and tried to light it on fire with his lighter.
Outside?
In the process of trying to burn the spider, the surrounding brush caught fire and it quickly spread.
So it was outside?
Outside. Quote,
where do you get the nerve? Really? The spider's at the spider sitting in this living room. It's outside, right? I can maybe understand if you tried to light something on fire because it's in your house, which honestly probably not the smartest thing to do. But hey, I get it. Like, look, man, you don't pay rent to be in here, Spider-Man. Like, you need to get outside. But it's outside. Like, you went to outside and was like, "I'm gonna light this on fire." You're a dummy, and I hate you.
By the way, bad news for you two gentlemen who want to apply for the
Oh, is it already filled?
No, from the 972, that job posting has 27,000 applicants that have applied already on LinkedIn.
Yeah, but I'm special.
Okay. Quote, really without much prompting, yeah, I was up there. I had a lighter, and I was trying to burn and kill a spider and brush around. It caught fire, said Sergeant Spencer Cannon with the Utah County Sheriff's Office. Officers also reported finding marijuana and paraphernalia in his possession at the time of his arrest. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter here.
Honestly, even then, I know people that have been high. That doesn't have to be the reason that you set everything on fire.
60 acres?
That's so much.
That is so much.
Like, I feel sorry for, all of the people that inevitably had, their incomes harmed because this dude was being a dummy. Like, why don't you got...
Like, you're wild reckless for that.
You don't got to slide some... Like, I have a designated slide that I kill vermin with, right? Like, I'm just like one of these slides, like on an old pair of slides I use, and like if I see a cockroach, pow, it's dead. Like, I feel like that's the way you need to go about it instead of like trying to light it on fire for being outside. I just don't... The spider wasn't bothering you, dog.
Finally, inside the gray area here. We regret to inform you that mustard donuts are now a thing.
What?
Yeah. French's, who loves to experiment a lot of different things.
Aren't they the ones that... Wasn't French's the one that did the mustard popsicle or something? About
ketchup.
Ketchup pop.
Bingo. According to a press release...
French's.
French's teamed up with the New York City's... with New York City's dough for a creation that, quote, reimagines a classic glazed donut with a vibrant, sweet, and savory yellow mustard coating that is topped with a yellow mustard cake crumble, end quote. Do you all find that intriguing?
The pictures of these things do not look appetizing at all.
Yeah, the description doesn't either.
I don't even need to look at them.
I don't want that. I don't even know how to describe mustard. I was about to say tart, but whatever. Like, whatever that flavor profile is, no thank you.
Like, I only want mustard on my hot dog. I don't want it anywhere near anything else.
You don't put mustard on your burgers?
I have to be in the mood for it. I'm more of a ketchup and mayonnaise guy.
Okay.
Versus putting mustard on my burger.
But yeah, mustard on savory things, cool. Mustard on things that are supposed to be sweet is insane behavior.
Yeah, I just need French's to chill out with all this. You know, ketchup-flavored popsicles.
This is the thing I don't get, right?
Mustard-flavored donuts.
Maybe these are PR stunts. Clearly that's probably what they are. But, getting awareness. Who buys mustard that's not French? I feel like French's is the name in mustard, is it not?
Heinz. Heinz makes mustard.
I mean, I know they make it, but, the preeminent name in mustard, I feel like it's French's. Like, why? You already there. What are you doing? That's like Kleenex being like, we need to have ads, which I guess they do have some of those. Well, y'all winning. You won already. You already won.
That's great.
We're going to buy your brand. Leave me alone. Leave the donuts alone, really.
By the way, an update from a story we were talking about earlier where Marquise Brown was arrested in Maricopa County for, driving excessively fast. He was driving 126 miles an hour. At the time of his arrest.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, yeah, no, yeah.
$126.
Yeah, it don't matter what the speed limit is. You going to jail, big fella. You going to jail. That's crazy talk.
$126. Coming up next on the Get Right with Reggie KG. Appreciate you going inside the gray area there. What's the sports moment, Des Bryant, that haunts you the most? Next on 105 Through the Fan. So get right with Reggie KG right here on 105 through the Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Atitula, my man Joey Erickson holding it down for you here on your Turn It On, Leaving On station. I love Reg's reaction as we had the NFL Network on in here, and Caleb Burton on the NFL Network was out at Dallas Cowboys training camp today out in Oxnard, and he didn't realize who that was. I was like, yeah, that's Caleb Burton. He's like, well, who is that? I was like, that's Veronica Burton's sister.
Yeah, she's a rookie. Veronica Burton, the rookie for the Dallas Wings, who actually got her first career start yesterday for the Wings and had an 8.9 assist and 3-steal game. So she had a really good one in her first start. So that's kind of funny how worlds collide in that. And I guess me realizing who her sister is.
That's right. She's on television. In honor of Nobu Knights out in Oxnard, California, we're still waiting to hear from maybe Broadus.
Yeah, I put feelers out in hopes that somebody would give me an update, and it might just be something where I'll have to listen with all of you to 105 through the Fan as the story.
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
The stories start from Sean and RJ. I'm sure carry through KNC and G Bag tomorrow.
Who do you think is the person that's going to turn in the earliest? Because right now, I feel like Sean is getting real grumpy man-ish these days.
Ooh, that's too... Because I was about to say, like, Sean be out there, but, like, he's kind of succumbed to a little bit of age.
He's starting to slow down a little bit, yeah.
But this is the thing, right? You got to remember, like, these dudes are all in kind of packs, and they riding together.
That's true.
So, now they're all in the same place, so maybe you can catch a ride with somebody else. But, like, in order to leave, you also got to convince everybody else to leave, or at least some contingent of folks to leave. So I do wonder if that works. But I can see maybe Sean turning in because that turnaround from night to morning. However, at the same time, Sean is also one who I think likes to get his money's worth. And this is the event of training camp. So, like, I think Sean want to be there. If for no other reason, Sean liked the content, too.
Yes.
Like, I think Sean's like, yo, this is a content. Like, I'm working, technically. So, yeah, I'm going to be here.
I bet because I'm sure Michael Irvin will probably be there.
Oh, yeah, no, I forgot about that. If those important people, Sean is hobnobbing, dog.
Yeah.
Sean is hobnobbing.
That's true.
You can tell him I said that. Sean is hobnobbing right now. And I don't disrespect it at all.
Like, not at all. appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey at chartrate.com.
I said hobnobbing about five times.
No, you did. You got it, but you used it correctly. Chartrate.com, text like 877-811-1053. Again, in honor of Nobuna, which celebrity would you want to party with if you had the chance to do so? And where would you want to do that partying with? Joey, did you have a particular celebrity that you would want to party with, and where would you want to do that partying at?
I'm going to go with my favorite rapper, Jermaine Cole. I'm a big J. Cole guy.
Okay.
I'd like to party with him a little bit. Maybe not so much of a big party. I don't think he's that type of guy, but maybe kickback.
That's what I was like.
In
that
studio,
feels like...
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And just let him, watch him go to work.
You are a proper J. Cole stan.
He's
all over Dreamville.
Okay.
Been here since Neighbors.
Yeah, okay. Respect you. Learning so much about Joey.
Friday Night Lights, baby.
Working with him. Oh, look, there you go.
He's putting all his bona fides
on. Yeah, he is a proper... J. Cole fan. Let us know on the chart. What happened?
Our texters are funny. From the 214, Sean here, catch these little hands, KG. Which is funny because KG didn't say any of that.
Not at all. But
I'll put my name on it. Like, I don't think I'm saying anything bad about Sean. I think Sean would just enjoy being around, like, the big names and the people who are legitimately his friends also. Right? Like, him and Michael Irvin have a relationship.
Very
like,
much so.
So, like, it's
like
not,
texting type relationship. Like, they tight. They tight boys. Like,
so.
What's the sports moment that haunts you the most? Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, as we continue on our show here on 105 through the Fan, the sports moment that haunts you the most, you can let us know on the truckbreak.com text line 877-811-1053.
What prompted this, KG?
I don't remember, actually. Now that you say that out loud, I don't actually remember what prompted this particular discussion.
All right, well, I can tell you
You remember?
I don't remember exactly what prompted this, but I do remember what game...
Well, we have no idea how we just come up with segments. Like,
but I do remember what got me to the point where I was saying stuff where you were like, okay, we can do this as a segment.
Yeah.
And the thing that brought it to me is just like how you in specific, KG, and how a lot of other Cowboys fans, I don't get you, right? And I don't say that to be mean. I just don't understand you. And maybe it's not for me to understand. Y'all got to stop doing this Dez Cotta thing. You got to stop bringing that back. Because you know what? You're doing it to yourselves.
That's how we got there.
You're putting yourself in this place.
I want
better for you. I really do. Right? Like, we'll be in instances where it's like, we're, you know, watching a game on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then we end up in the NFL's favorite game show, K catch or no catch, right? And we're just sitting here for 3 minutes trying to figure out why they run it back. Was there one butt cheek or 2 feet or one kneecap? Like, what, is it down? Were there 3 steps? Was there a football move? And then you see the Cowboys fans get on the Twitter machine. Well, Dez caught him. Like, nobody was talking about that right now. You just brought the sadness to your own doorstep. Stop doing that. You don't have to do that to yourself.
It's funny because CBS Sports did that the other day. I think they had some kind of question posed out there, something of this nature or something different. But the one moment that kept coming up was the Dez catch, and the one, you know, that haunts people.
See, now if CBS Sports did it to you, like,
but okay, I think they were just doing it just for random trolling and content.
But I feel like just a lot of people love bringing that up, and I'm like, why? Why do you want to keep relishing in this?
Because it was painful. It's painful.
But that's the reason why you don't have to keep bringing it up. We all know what happened. We all seen it. We seen it.
Because here's the thing. That 2014 team, again, you think about the 07 team, the 16 team a couple years later. But that 14 team had everything. DeMarco Murray on fire. Tony Romo, arguably an MVP. He was a legitimate MVP candidate. Dez Bryant led the NFL in touchdowns that year at 16. Like, that team defense was good. Yeah. It felt like that team was the one of the Romo teams, again, aside from the 07 team. But that team felt like, oh, this is the one. They had beaten Seattle earlier that year on the road. And if they had beaten Green Bay, they would have been back on the road against Seattle in the NFC title game. And I am thoroughly convinced that the Cowboys walk in.
That's right.
And beat Seattle to go to the Super Bowl.
You've said this many a times. You've often said this.
So that's why it hurts so much, because I felt like that team and me personally as a Cowboys fan was robbed of a legitimate Super Bowl team that 2014 season. That's why that one hurts so much in my mind.
And, of course, being right from the 6-8-2, but Dez did catch it. Thank you. Yes.
He did.
Yeah, but look, is this the Cowboys fans remember the Alamo? Like, is that what this is? Where it's like, hey man, just remember the homies, you know, remember the dead homies that couldn't make it, and let's do it for them. Is that what that is? Is that what the Dez caught? Because that would make a little bit more sense to me. I still wouldn't entirely get it.
I mean, yeah, especially if it was last year's team. If last year's team had made it to the NFC title game or to the Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, we find, like, for all those teams, that 07 team, that 14 team, that 16 team, like, it would have been all for, you know, for those teams. The year that, you know, the Romo dropped the field goal.
Ooh, against Seattle.
Against Seattle.
Yeah, that was tough.
Like, yeah, like, it would have been for all of those teams that we felt like should have been there.
Okay, so maybe do we just need to get to the point where the Cowboys actually win the Super Bowl and people can exercise that?
I mean, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Is that what we're just waiting for?
That'd be really nice.
Okay.
Yes, 817, the Murray fumble was in the same game as the Dez catch.
See, now you didn't.
No, I was just answering the question.
Yeah, yes. But it sounded like it got to you.
I mean, yeah. Like, okay. Are you kidding me? Those two moments in the game were the two biggest moments in that game, other than Aaron Rodgers, you know, doing what Aaron Rodgers does against the Dallas Cowboys, which is – beat us all the time.
We're really sticking with some Cowboy stuff from the 903. Sports moment is the no pass interference on Deion against Michael Irvin in the 94 NFC Championship.
That's a good one. That one hurts as well. A couple from the 817 and the 972. Two words: Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, because the tough part about it is like that was an incredible Rangers team. It felt like a team of destiny. Joey, I see it all over your face.
Joey's,
I know,
like,
you're a big baseball guy.
You
were
talking about painful. Yeah. Joey's like, his face like, yeah. That's.
You go back and you look at that lineup. Dogs. Just 1 through 9. Like, unreal. I mean, Kinsler, Young, Beltre, Cruz, Hamilton. I mean, just name them. Listen.
It was a monstrous lineup.
And then you got C.J. Wilson. Derek Holland was a stud. Game 3 of that World Series at home. That one was, yeah, just... Yeah, that one brought tears to my eyes. I remember that game.
How old were you?
I was 12. Yeah.
Well, oh, so that's like in
he was
see
prime.
That's
the,
exactly
yeah. Prime hurt your feelings.
Exactly what I was looking for. Yep.
Like, the drop field goal one was I was still a little young. I think it was like 8 or 9. I remember my dad was livid, and I was just like, like, my dad was going, and I was just like, it's one of those situations you don't know how to react.
But yeah. the Rangers one, that's the one that's like burned into. Mm-hmm. Like your memory. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I've talked about how I'm a college football sicko, and we will learn more about this as the football season comes around. For all my Texas fans, Texas onlookers, and this wasn't even like large scale here, or like large stakes, I should say. But people remember, y'all remember that game where Michael Crabtree made that catch against Texas? My moment wasn't even necessarily the catch, or maybe if we could tie it along with the thing that I just cannot get out of my mind. Blake Gideon, safety for Texas, played at, I want to say, Georgetown High School, Georgetown, Texas. I went to Stony Point High School in Round Rock, so like I got to see him very up and close and personal. Like, that dude played Iron Man football, as sometimes you do in some of them smaller places, but he played quarterback and he played safety. So he played quarterback in high school, he played safety, and then ultimately in college, he played safety. And I had seen that man make some of the most ridiculous grabs that I've ever seen. One-handed grabs, multiple occasions on defense. Like, I've seen him do incredible. And in this game, I don't even remember who the quarterback is. Like, that's how crazy. Like, I got to go back and look who Texas quarterback was in that season. Just a gimme. Like, it was a fly, you know, pop fly, basically. And he's just sitting there and puts his hands out like the bread basket, you know? All he needs to do is cradle this baby right into his chest, and it lets it go right through his hands. And I'm like, dog, I seen you catch way harder pass than that. And then however many plays later, the end of that drive is a throw up to Michael Crabtree where he makes the defense look preposterous.
Oh, wow. Graham Harrell was the quarterback.
Graham Harrell threw up a duck, bro.
You know what's so funny about that particular game and that play in particular? Michael Crabtree, I thought, was like this 6'5", 235-pound, like, monster of receiver. That dude really ain't all that big. Like, but he played and looked so much bigger on the college football field that you thought he was like this next monstrous wide receiver. And then come
he
to
was
find
so
out.
Good, though.
I mean, he was great.
He was so good.
But you come to find out, my man go, what, 6'1, 6'2?
I mean, that's still a pretty big wide out.
But he played like he Especially was 6'5, 6'6. Like, he was a monster on the field. And yeah, he wasn't all that.
Blake Gideon, man. And from the 903, Longhorns can't help catch a stray at any point or any time. That was not a stray. Let me tell you, I lived in the Austin area at that time. I felt that person. I feel like you can hear it. I feel like you should be able to hear that one frustrates me. I'm not trying to shoot strays. I'm releasing that one myself.
Texas was number one at the time at that game, wasn't it?
I had forgotten that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, Texas was. It was
that feels great.
Number one versus number seven.
Thanks. That was a great reminder.
I'm just saying.
No, I mean, like, if you got to say it, but it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that was, oh boy, good college football times. That's what college football was like. That's when I was really in, like, college football.
Oh, that
like,
was Earl Thomas, too? Like, that's the thing. I've legitimately blocked out
He's, like, remembering that all
I've
the things.
I've blocked out all the memories besides the Blake Gideon letting a ball fall right through his chest. Like, earlier today in the LA Live, you should Tolo, Lucius was talking about how a brownout, when you brown out, yeah, is when, like, you get drunk and you can't remember anything until people start reminding you. You're like, oh, yeah. I feel like I had a sports brownout with that moment where all I remembered was that Blake Gideon thing. And you, the lovely fan Texas on the truckwreck.com text line, are bringing it all right back. So thanks, I guess.
Coming up next on the Get Right with Reggie KG, we've been having it as our theme all night long. I need you to pour them in on the truckwreck.com text line in honor of Nobu Night out in Oxnard, California. Who is the celebrity that you want to party with, why you want to party with them, and where you would want to party with that celebrity? We'll do that next on 105 Through the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.